Blog Talk Radio.
Tell out. Tell out. Yo, yo. Princess Jazzy. Princess. Sexy K.
Sexy.
Mr. Sensation. Mr. Yo. Hey. And Mr. Goodley. And Mr. Goodley. It's on. It's on. Yo. Yo. Tell out. 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 And it's tell out. And it's on. It's on. It is tell out. And it's on. It's on. It's on. Tell out. 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 Tell out.
And it's on.
Tell out.
And it's on. And it's on.
Thank you for tuning in to Tell All Radio. This is your girl, Miss Princess Jazzy, and I'm here with my co-host, Miss Sexy K.
Hello.
Mr. Goodness.
Hey, what's going on?
Mr. Wishes.
What's up, world? What's going on?
And Mr. Prime Time.
What's good with you? What's good with you?
All right, you guys. Now, before we get into anything else, I got to do my shout-outs first and foremost to God, as always. Also to the six-man radio team. And shout-out to you guys who tune in every Wednesday from 9 until 11. You kick it with us, as well as you guys who go back and listen to the show. You already know. We definitely appreciate you. Now, the word of the day, which is understanding, a quality or condition of one who understands comprehension. Also, the quote of the day, everything you can imagine is real, by Pablo Picasso. Tonight we are going to be talking about the importance of youth awareness in education, crime prevention, relationships, and finances. What do you think the youth should be more aware of? But before we get into that, let's jump right into some music tonight. We're going to be hearing from Mr. DJ Prince. We're going to be serving these streets with some mixes coming from him. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back. Tell All Radio if you want to call in, you want to comment, you want to get into the discussion or the conversation, call 646-478-3599.
Serving these streets mixtapes.
DJ the fuck Prince, man. The campaign. Introduction right here, man. Black government case. Pay the fuck attention, man. Let's go.
Loving it. I am my brother's keeper. I took the oath and now I'm close and the vote in the credo. For my people, creep low and take a nigga life like the repo.
Man,
I see everything like eyes in the
I pledge allegiance to the flag. On paper like the IRS. The moment you've been waiting on. Be patient if you want the best. The niggas they've been hating on. Dipping like I'm Space Ghost. On the campaign trail, taking over both coasts. I rock with the best. My cabinet niggas monumental. We got everything you niggas lack. Hammer's government issue. Pull a sizzle, your sideburns. What would you niggas learn? We are the now, so calm it down, my nigga, wait your turn.
From every hood, every corner, strong like a army, take down for each other. We serve, going in every day. Knock the competition out the way. This is a campaign. This is a campaign.
We are the gang of the people, for the people. From projects to the hood, y'all the ones we pledge allegiance to. The new voice you can believe in, never leave it. If we do, then it's surely death by treason. These men pull out of fights, we protect our stripes. They separate while we try to unite. It's black government gang. The streets hurting and they begging for change. Like to welcome y'all to the campaign.
Every hood, every corner, strong like an army, take down for each other. We serve, going in every day. Knock the competition out the way. This is a campaign. This is a campaign.
Detroit niggas, I see you. Real shit right here, man. The campaign, the mixtape. DJ the Fuck Prince, man. You know how to stand for us, man. We worldwide, man. Google us. Hey, she got two copies, man. Let's go.
Serving these streets mixtape.
See, it's real simple, man. We in a different state every night, nigga.
Gang.
Pay attention, let's go.
Your next move, your best move.
And that's what it is.
Make your next move, your best move.
And YC, what up, man?
Make your next move, your best move.
Shout out to my niggas in Philly, what up?
Make your next move, your best move.
No cap, what up, man? Stop cap.
If it's a problem, don't say something, do something. I never heard loud talk that can move something. 357 hammer dance, 1-2 something. Then I gotta lose that and cop a new something. Who the fuck won't romp with me? Loaded toast, Holy Ghost, come stomp with me. You Kirk Franklin, yelling over the tracks. I speak frankly, no yelling over the max.
Fuck shooting, I'ma beat your ass. The bounty hunters that'll beat your ass. If you wanna go to war, we'll beat your ass. Get undressed, I'ma beat your ass. Shooters on deck, looking for some hood strikes. For the right price, dead, get your mind right. No matter time of day, dead, send you on your way. Front page, dead body in the Great Lake.
Make your next move, your best move. I knock you out your square like a tennis ball. Problem. Make your next move, your best move. You gon' make me show you what you can do. Problem. Make your next move, your best move. Make the gas sneeze and let the bullet pin through. Problem. Make your next move, your best move.
Everybody
you.
Yeah.
Oh shit, the gang is back. You
we back.
Supposed to get out of line, we tame you cats. Put a couple thaw on the head of a John Doe.
Yeah.
Niggas are going to get that green Rondo. Don't slip, my niggas coming off the hip. Bag your ass up, send that ass on the trip. If it's beef, Gubba go to semi route. I don't fuck with guns, knife a nigga, bring his kidneys out.
Yeah.
If it's a problem, I can make it real bad. Black out your block, shots fired like in Iran. Got an ill rep for not buying a lease in the beef. But you call violence, I call it increasing the beef. Beat your ass to pieces in the black beater with a black Nina. Cruising off the scene without a scratch, blowing at Begina Street, nigga. 244, I'm gonna get meaner, ready for whatever it can happen when you see
it's
us, nigga.
A problem. Make your next move your best move. I knock you out your square like a gentle
problem.
Make your next move your best move. You gon' make me show you what you can do.
Problem.
Make your next move your best move. Make your gas please and let the bullets get through.
Problem.
Make your next move your best move.
Somebody call the coroner, cause I'm about
yeah.
to stretch you.
When the tech is in the money. Ain't no telling, will I rob or catch a body?
Yep.
That's what they be yelling. I'm a thug by blood, not relation.
Yeah.
Y'all just bust shot, I cremate them. Got the dummy
yeah.
in the clip, and I'm looking for you.
Looking for
if it's beef with my team, I'll cook it for you.
Cook it for
deep fried pussy nigga like a Coney order.
Yeah.
It's a motherfucking problem when the burner's on them. Yeah.
It's mighty funny, niggas yelling, fuck me.
Ooh.
But when I come for confrontation, all you do is duck me.
Bitch.
You got away when I was strapped, so your ass is lucky.
Cause
I was about to put up more shots than Ronnie Stutz. You gon' make me have to come out to your house
yeah.
and pistol whip you cause you keep running off at your mouth.
Hey,
beefing with me, the street shit get tricky. Play the boy in the hood, I'm the nigga to kill Ricky.
Make your next move your best move. I knock you out your square like a gentle
problem.
Make your next move your best move. You gon' make me show you what the check do.
Problem.
Make your next move your best move. Make your gas seize and let the bullets pin to.
Problem.
Make your next move your best move.
Somebody call the coroner cause I'm about to stretch you.
Alright you guys, we are back, we are back. And before we get into the topic tonight, we are going to go into the sports spasm with Mr. Goodness. So here we go.
Hey, people talking about around about the sports and everything. Let's get into these sports. Y'all, Bill Belichick, I don't know what's going on, but man, you can't put your hands on people on the end of the game. Now, that's why it's a $50,000 fine to you, man. Come on, everybody. But as you can see, if you touch people, it's okay. But touching the referees, that's something that's not good. And Bill Belichick, as long as you've been in the NFL, you should know this, man. So hopefully you will understand. And I know you gave a little apology. But next time, try to keep your hands to yourself. And as far as hands, Michael Vick, what is going on, brother? You can't get your game started. Are you going to pass the ball to the younger fella? If not, then we need to keep going. Brother, I know it's hard. I know you're struggling. But I know you got it in you, Vick. Let's keep it going. And moving on, Pittsburgh. Y'all boys thought Polamalu was your man, but see, you're doing good without him. That's all you need to do. Just keep the dream alive, Pittsburgh. You know, those terrible towels, even though I'm really not a Pittsburgh fan, I hope y'all boys keep it going. And Ahmad Bradshaw, he's supposed to be back starting with the Giants come Sunday against the Eagles. So, Eagles, y'all better have y'all stuff together. Hopefully, y'all can pull it off. Matt Ryan, hey, I heard you taking your game to the next level. Even though Atlanta ain't been doing too good, y'all get to the playoffs instead of y'all fall off. Come on, Matt. We got to get this thing right now. And I know it's hard, but, hey, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. Hey, but speaking of all in all, Warren Sapp, I know that you're a commentator now and you're retired, but you can't call people retarded. You need to watch what you say, man. You know, Tate took it a little hard, and you know, he's been treated for personality disorder, anger management, and you just can't say anything you want to say out your mouth. I mean, and then you didn't even apologize to the guy. Sometimes you have to take it upon yourself to be a grown man and apologize for the things you say. And Warren Sapp, you've been in the NFL 20 years. You're supposed to know this. You know he's a younger guy, and he don't understand, you know, even though you didn't say it that way, he took it that way. And you shouldn't have did that. And the Green Bay Packers, I know y'all real upset. A lot of y'all Packer fans. All I can say was God was with him. Because when they threw that Hail Mary, I mean, anybody could have came out of the pack with it. But like they said, the guy, he fought and wrestled. And he came down, even though they blamed it on the referees. All I can say is the man got the ball. That's all I can say on that. You know, charge it to the game. Y'all lost, you lost. I mean, if it was the other way around, would it have been, you know, a big problem? I don't think it would, because everybody's so used to Green Bay winning. You know, sometimes y'all got to take a back seat. The boys just played harder than y'all. They wanted it more. Except the loss, Green Bay. I know a lot of y'all Green Bay fans might not want to hear that, but it is what it is. Take the L and roll with it. And you Cowboy fans, I know I'm going to get a lot of feedback off this from these Cowboy fans. Even though y'all stole that game, yeah, you stole the game. Y'all should have lost the game. But y'all stole it in the end. And I'm a man, and I can say, you know, y'all won. I can't say that. But I don't think that's as far as y'all going to go. Especially in my book, because I am not a Cowboy fan. And I know a lot of people listening, but, you know, it is what it is. And back to this NFL report, yeah, the referees, this lockout on the referees. I mean, refs, y'all really not doing a lot. So I don't understand why y'all, don't want to come back to work. It's not like you're actually playing the game. I know, I understand that you're reffing it and all of this. It's like being a referee in a boxing match. You're not fighting. So why should you get more money? I mean, y'all want to have a lockout? Come on. You know, that's why they got people to take y'all place. Because y'all, your job is not hard. And then, it's not like you're doing it the whole year. So why would you fuss about the money? I understand you got to go through this, you got to go through that. And now everybody trying to say the new referees that, you know, people are paying them, they don't know how to call and all this. Give the guys a chance, man. They probably nervous because, you know, it's nationally on TV and all this. And they probably, so I'm telling y'all, you know, be patient with them. Give them time, and I bet you they'll end up doing everything right. So don't be so hard on the refs. And Bill Belichick, don't be grabbing on the men, man. Because, I mean, people make mistakes. You know, it's their first time. So, everybody, please be patient with these new refs. And that's going to conclude my sports spasm with Mr. Goodness. And I will talk to y'all people next week. Be good. I'm out.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, that was Mr. Goodness with the sports spasm. Definitely was interesting. So we're going to jump right into our topic for today, which is youth awareness. Pretty much, we're going to be talking about the awareness in the education, the crime prevention, the relationships, and the finances. So make sure you guys call in if you want to get your opinion. And the number is 646-478-3599. But we're going to talk amongst ourselves about first education. So what do you guys think about the education with youth? What do you think that we need to do or that we have to do to get them more involved in getting an education and wanting to be, you know, go to college and get a career started instead of just, you know, getting a job and you know, working from paycheck to paycheck? What do you think we should do?
I feel that what we should do is, I know that they give a lot of history in school, but I think that they are not showing the kids how much people had to fight for them to be able to go to school. I think they think that school's just going to be around, it's not going anywhere, so if they play around, they can get it whenever they want to get it, and no one is really pressing the issue about how important it is. They feel like, oh, I could go work at McDonald's. Like when you are a child or you're a teenager, you're not thinking about making $20 an hour or $25 an hour because money really doesn't mean anything to you. So going to work to a place like McDonald's where they're going to start you off like $7 or $7.50, it really doesn't, it seems like, oh, I'm getting a paycheck. But when you think of it as you got to get older, you're going to need more money than that. You're not going to be able to survive off of that. So I really think that they need to help them look towards the future and not just for right now.
That's true. I also think, like, we have to let them know that education is important. You know what I mean? Like, it cultivates them. It makes them more mature individuals. It makes them seem more grown up. I've noticed that a lot of kids now, they want to be grown up. They want to be able to do the things that grown ups do. They want to be, and they rush their youth. They rush through situations, and they're more experienced than it was back in the day. And it's kind of like, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, but you got to realize, it is one thing, too. If you don't know your history, you're not going to know yourself. So, I mean, every other culture teaches their kids their history, except for the black culture. We have, what, 1 month, and it's the shortest month of the year, and they're really not teaching them anything. And, you know, and they really not paying close attention to, you know, all the things that black people have done. And, I mean, it's not just the black teenagers, but those are the ones that's really not getting it. Because, you know, white people are going to teach their kids their history, and they're going to teach them what they need out of life. Our people don't. You know, they're going to say, well, if he ain't going to go to school, I ain't going to deal with you no more. That, you know, that's the first thing that's going to come out of their mouth. And that's not a good thing.
My thing is, also, I feel like a lot of people, you know, a lot of youth today, the reason why they're not so interested in school is because it's not something that they want to do as a career. Education should consist of training and development in their fields of interest, things that they would like to do. It should help them define their career objectives, decide what they want from life, and enable them to achieve that, you know, achieve what they wish they want to do. So it definitely must go towards, you know, them being more in tune with what they want to do. Because I feel like
once a child is interested in something, something that they want to do, then they'll do whatever it takes to make it happen.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if you got something that you're interested in, like, nowadays kids are interested in video games. Teach them how to create your video. Kids are interested in computers. I mean, that's all they want to do now, get on the computer. So why not just, you know, throw the computers at them, let them.
Exactly. Encourage them to use the computer to make money. Encourage them to say, okay, you like to be on the computer all day? Well, here's a program that you can go on and you can use. Invest. And I think that parents, they don't invest in their children anymore. So it's kind of like their kids are like, oh, I got to do that by myself. I don't want to do it. If I don't have the support, I don't want to do it. You have to support these kids because they're honestly, they want to do it, but they just need you to be like, go ahead and do it. I support you 100%.
Yeah, because you hear with a lot of, you know, grown people, when you ask them, well, you know, well, why didn't you ever do this? They're like, you know what? I really didn't have that support factor in my life, you know? So a lot of people really don't have that support factor, and then when they don't have a support factor, they don't really know how that is. They don't give their kids that. You know, they just doing the same thing, repeating the same cycle.
Yeah, and we have to learn, like, where do we break that cycle? Like, where do we say, you know what, I'm going to support my child. And I'm going to make sure they know that I'm behind them 100%. They can do whatever they like to do.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah, because even if, like, okay, if they want to do something, let them try it. If they fail, you know, tell them, hey, try it again. You know, don't downgrade. Well, I knew you weren't going to never do nothing. I mean, that's a lot of it. People do that. The parents nowadays do that because, you know, it's like, or either the parent pushes the child so far that the child don't want to do it anymore. Because I watch these things on the TV, you know, like, what is it, Tierras and Tots. You know, they won't even let these kids be kids no more.
Exactly.
They, you know, they try to make the kids live their dream. And that's not good.
Yeah, toddlers and Tierras. They really, really do push those kids so hard.
Exactly. They take it to the next level for real.
Yeah, that's not a good thing. Because you'll get that child to the point that that child don't even want to do that anymore.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, like first it started out so, like, fun and this and that, and then the parent just turned into, like, something else that the child just really hates.
Okay. Also, another thing education does, it makes them socially aware. It's important that education to youth aims at developing social awareness in these adults-to-be. The training given to them should consist of environmental education and social values. They should be made aware of current social and environmental issues. They should be explained the steps that they can take in dealing with these issues. Education should expose the youth even to the darker side of society, the problems that eclipse it, the prejudice that shackle it, and the superstitions that blind it. Youth should be encouraged to come up with ideas and devise ways to better the society that they are part of. I definitely think that people, like, they're like, oh, well, they don't need to know this. Let's hide this from them. You know, they don't have to know that. They're too young. I definitely think that we should make them more aware because how do you know what they can do?
Yeah, because if you hide it from them and then they find out later on, they're going to end up doing it. That's just like, okay, you try to hide, you know, everything like sex and all of this, and then they get with their friends and they see it, they're going to think, oh, this is the thing to do.
And I feel like another thing that teens deal with is stuff like peer pressure, like really hard, like peer pressure. And I feel like parents should start telling their kids about games and all kind of stuff like really early. So when they get approached by it, they be ready for it and not start talking to them when they see like their child wearing a bandana. You know what I'm saying? Like it's too late.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's something that when they're in school, that's stuff they find at school, you know, the different little games or whatever. And,
But the thing about that is a lot of the kids join the games because they're not getting that attention at home. And they feel like, oh, my friend's giving me this attention. So,
yeah, if I do this, they're going to be like, oh, that's my dude. He crazy.
Yeah.
And they're going to be on his side.
Yeah, because your parents not giving you that attention at home. Either they working too much or they don't want to be bothered with you. And the child's going to feel like, oh, well, I ain't got nobody at home that's worrying about what I'm doing. So I guess I go with my friends. They'll care.
That's true. Also, I definitely think that education makes them self-aware. Like overpopulation, unwanted pregnancies, sexually transmitted diseases, abortions, unprotected sex, and teenage pregnancy are some areas of, you know, that are concerning today. Because nowadays, you see an 11-year-old girl and she's pregnant. And I think the reason is the lack of sex education. The incomplete knowledge in this regard or wrong notions about sex breed problems in these teenagers. It definitely needs to be more education about sex in schools. And it's crazy because when I was going to school, in high school and middle school, they never talked to us about sex.
But you know what? They used to. I can say when school started going down, and this is true, when they took prayer, the Pledge of Allegiance, and all of that out of school, school just turned into just a hangout place. When they took all of that out, it's like the kids didn't even care no more.
And it's kind of like, and I remember when I was in middle school and elementary and kindergarten, we used to do the Pledge of Allegiance. When I got to high school was when we did the Pledge of Allegiance, but they said you didn't have to stand up, you didn't have to do it, you didn't have to say it. They were just giving you all these things and saying, okay, well, we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance, but you don't have to. And I think that it should be definitely an issue.
Something
like people need to talk
made
about it. Exactly. Yeah. They should be instilled to do it. You make us go to gym, something that we really don't need to learn, but you make us go to gym and we get graded to go to gym. So why not make us do the Pledge of Allegiance? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah. And my thing
why not make
that's
us have
why.
Prayer?
I think that's why a lot of teens are away from it, too, is because now it's like, you know, you a child. You don't have no rights, but they telling the child, oh, you have a right to separate from your parents. You have a right for if your parents beat you, you have a right to call the police on them. You have the right to do this and that. To me, if you're a teen, you don't have a right to do nothing. If you still staying in your parents' house, you don't have a right to do nothing.
That's just like the jailhouse. You in jail, you don't have no right.
That's right.
But I feel like this. You can't compare the jailhouse to your parents' house. You cannot compare that.
Guess what?
Because
you
going to jail. Listen. But you going to jail for something of a crime that you've committed. Your parents' house, you were just born.
Yeah,
so it's not
you get in trouble,
like you
like
did something
you were in jail later.
Yeah, but if you get in trouble, that's completely different. When you get in trouble, that's different. But when you just chilling and you getting beaten on or you getting, you know, verbally abused or whatever, that's something that you have to take control of, especially as a child, because you grow up having that with you at all times, and it's kind of like it hinders you from certain situations. So I definitely say if it's a life-threatening situation, absolutely, you have a right to not be in that situation. But if you just want to be grown and you just want to do whatever you want to do, then that's just, no, that's not going to happen.
And it's crazy because, you know how you can go on the internet and you can listen to certain crazy things like 911 calls. They had a little girl on there. I think she was like, what, 5 or something like that. She called 911 so the man can help her with her homework. And I mean,
you said she did what?
She called 911 so the man could help her with her homework. When she called, the man was like, what's
wrong?
Well,
at least
she
was being productive.
Yeah, she was like, well, I need help with my homework, with the math.
At least she was being productive. But you know what? That is something that her parents should have told her, listen, when you need help with your homework or something like that, you come to me or you come to your dad or whatever. You don't call, you know, a place where people actually need real life-threatening help. And I think that's where it comes in, telling them what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah.
You know, when we are instilling all these different values in our children, when we are telling them, no, you can't do this, no, you can't do that, we definitely need to instill in them education. We need to instill in them empowerment and making good decisions. You know what I mean? So, and education should give them the strength to accept the mistakes they made, mend them, and most importantly, learn from them. So we have to tell our children, yeah, you can make mistakes, yeah, things happen, but I want you to learn from this situation.
Yeah, because I look at it like this. When you see kids that are really smart, I mean smart, like really smart, you don't see them kids popping up pregnant and saying I was the smartest person in school and now I'm 16 and pregnant. Those kids be in their books and they want something out of life. They don't be thinking about no babies and no boys or nothing. They be wanting to get their work done and get out of, you know, go to college and ready to start their life. We worry about all the little materialistic things, you know, that come along with life when you're young. Think about boys and up and down with them. They be in their books.
But the thing about it, though, the parents of them kids, they give them, you know, stuff to look forward to. Okay, wow, you got straight A's. Or, okay, we're going to go to Disney World, or I'm going to buy you a car, or I'm going to get you this. But
nowadays,
what about kids and parents that can't afford it?
Well, nowadays, definitely kids want incentives. They think that if they do this, then they should get something. But if we instill in them that if you do this, then you get a life of a great career, or you can go to ballet, or I'll let you get your favorite CD, you know, small things, or I'll let you get, you know, cookies or a cake or simple things. We don't have to always go above and beyond.
Yeah.
But I definitely
like
think
this.
That there should
you're
be
doing
some
it for yourself.
Incentives.
You ain't doing it for me, you're doing it for yourself. Now you want to get
That's
bad
true.
Where you Yeah, I mean, like, you want to get bad grades, you want to be looked at as, and then you got to get some of them teachers that, okay, I'm not going to be bothered with this child next year, so I'm going to let her go on and pass.
But you know what? Those teachers, and I definitely think that there are some teachers who don't know what the hell they're doing, And as parents, we should be involved in our children's work. We should be involved in whatever it is that they're doing at school, because you never know what's going on. These teachers can say, oh, well, she was this. Oh, well, she was that. Oh, well, what a blah, 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 blah. But that might not necessarily be the case, but they can tell you anything because you haven't been involved in your child's schooling. You haven't been calling them. You haven't been checking up on them. You haven't been doing anything. So they could tell you whatever it is they want to say. And
well,
it could not be true.
And that's true, too, because we went to our child's PTA meeting, and you wouldn't believe, you know, it's like you might have seen like three or four black people there. But all the white kids, all their parents was there.
Exactly. And that goes on back to being supportive of your children, supporting them in everything that they do. Yes, education is something that they're supposed to do, but it's also something that they need to be encouraged to do and to maintain. And as parents, we have to be like, okay, I might have to work. I'm going to pop in for a second, or I'm not going to go this time, but I need to make it a point to go next time. Even if I have to call the teacher and be like, yeah, I didn't get to make it this time, but can we set up a parent-teacher conference so you can let me know what's going on with my child?
Not me.
I just pop up. As simple as that.
I just pop up. Be peeping in the classroom and see what you're doing. Like,
exactly. But, you know, like, if we did things like that, we were more involved than the... You know, our children would be like, well, they definitely do take this seriously.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I think the fundamental purpose of education is to create good human beings. Education is vital to the healthy growth and development of one's personality, and producing human beings out of raw individuals lies the importance of education. Also, me personally, I feel like older people are more concerned about what they did and didn't do back in the day. You know what I mean? When they were growing up, they were like, when I was growing up, we ain't never do this. But I think that they fail to realize that time has changed. You know what I mean? Things are not the same as they used to be. So why not try to incorporate old ways into new ways so that it will make it easier or more alluring for youth to understand? And I think that that's, you know.
But you don't, and then you don't have the people watching out for each other's kids like they used.
Exactly.
Back in the day, you know, you used to go down the street and, you know, your neighbor would be like, I'm going to tell your mama on you.
Exactly. You'd be like, oh, that bitch, she always about business.
Yeah, know this. Then it's like, you know, you go down the street, by the time you get to the house, your mama know everything you did. You walk in the house Yeah, you know, and people, like they said, it takes a village to raise a child. So, I mean, people need to start getting more involved. You know, if I see your child doing something, whether it's white or black.
Or be like, you know, you know your mama would not approve of that. You know what I mean? I also think that people tend to go overboard. Like I said, for me, I don't want nobody touching my child. But at some point in time, if your child is doing something, you would want someone
that
has their best interest. Exactly.
If I ain't there, call me at work or come down to my house and be like, hey, your child was down there setting the woods on fire. And, you know, I fucked them up, you know. So, I mean, it's just the people need to get more involved in the neighborhood like they used to be. See, back in the day, you couldn't do nothing. 12 o'clock at night, you trying to jump out the window. About time your mama know everything you did in the morning.
Exactly.
Another
thing that I said we were going to talk about is crime prevention. I want to know, what do you guys think are some ways that we can get children to not become criminals, to stay away from crime-related situations?
Cut their hands off.
I mean, not just little crimes. I mean, like, really serious crimes. Because there are kids who, you know, grew up in a, and now they're, like, in jail for life for doing something.
Because, like I said, United States need to be more like these foreign countries. That's why they don't have that much crime over there. Because, you know, you steal something, they cut your hand off. Steal something else, they cut the other one off. Then you can't steal no more. I mean, you rape, they cut your stuff off. I mean, you murder, they kill you. I mean, them countries over there don't play about crime. That's why they don't have a lot of crime. And then, I mean, if the American laws got a lot more tougher, then I think they'll cut back on the crime. Because they like, okay, you go to jail. You know, you laying up there. You eating. People teaching you how to do crimes better. You got TV. You got weights. You got basketball. You got school. You just sitting there making a criminal more smarter.
That is true, and it's crazy because I watch a lot of, like, Law & Order, SVU, Criminal Minds, Cold Case, and they definitely give you, like, a lot of ways to not get caught. But at the same time, they also tell you that in the end, you're going to get caught.
Yeah,
you might get away with
it
at that moment.
Yeah, but the thing about it that, you know, prison is not like people see on TV, you know, with all this raping. It's not like that. But people think, oh, but, you know, it's not good because just like if you at the house, you don't want to wake up for school. There you got to do what you told. You're told when to eat, when to sleep, when to go to the bathroom, when you can go do this. It's like you being controlled. But yet, you don't want to be at the house. You don't want your mom and them telling you what to do. But you go to that jailhouse, they're going to tell you what to do every day. And people don't realize this. And they think it's a good thing to go to jail. Oh, I'm tough now that I went to jail.
But you know what? I also feel like social conditions, like housing, family income, education, leave their deepest marks on children and youth. It definitely makes them feel like, oh, well, that's all I know. Criminal stuff is all I know how to do. This is what my mom does. This is what my dad does.
No, that's
so
what you want.
So it's kind of like...
No, you can take yourself away from that.
Yeah, but it's harder to do that when you've grown up in that environment. It's harder to say, I'm not going to be like them. I'm not going to do what they do, even though that's the only thing I know of, even though that's the only thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, but you can always get away from that.
Absolutely. I definitely believe that, but I definitely think that if we improve the social conditions, if we improve, you know what I mean, to like public housing, always they call it the ghetto, the hood, and it's kind of like, why can't we come up with something that sounds better than that? Why can't we make these places look better than what they do?
It's not the place. It's the people that stay there.
No, I don't think that, because I feel like because the people that stay there, they look at it as the ghetto, they look at it as the hood.
No.
So that's how
because
they're gonna treat
for right now, okay. They building a project. But the projects look better than these $900 apartments. But yet you give it a couple of years and people be done through trash everywhere. They hanging out.
But
on
you
the
know
corner.
Why though?
It's the people.
You
that
know why though?
There.
Because, but you know why though? Because that's the only way you can. They can start now and they can build the houses up all pretty and stuff. But at the end of the day, when they first started doing the public housing, it was the ghetto. It was the hood.
Yeah,
that's all they knew. And that's all they knew. So now that they're going into this new place, they're like, well, shit, it's still the ghetto. It's still the hood, even if it looked nice. So whatever. You know what I mean?
Like they say, change start with you. So
absolutely.
Once you change, then everything around you change. So that, they have to have that mentality. You know, why would I want
to
live?
But not everybody has that. We have to understand that not everybody has our morals and values at mind. Not everybody is like, oh, well, since they cleaned up housing, then I'm going to clean up the way I act. No, not everybody's thinking that way. So we have to be mindful.
I don't want my neighborhood looking trash. Yeah, I don't want this. I don't want that. You got to accept that. You got to be like, well, we're not going to make it like the old project. We're going to keep this clean. We're going to keep the kids off the corner. And, you know, and there's a lot of people that, you know, they don't see it like that. All they think is, okay, this is my new hood. I got to do it like this.
Exactly. So it's kind of like, how do you tell people, or how do you try to get people to realize that this is a brand new start, this is something new, this is something that, you know, can make your life a little easier, a little better. All you have to do is maintain
the government is probably getting tired of that, and they're going to end up making take it away from them. And then if you don't want nothing, I tell them, if I was in the government, I'd give you 2 years. You can't get your stuff together in 2 years, get it the best way you can. Because
you in this 2 years.
Yeah, I give them 2 years. You can't change your, you can't get your stuff together in 2 years. Like, I'm already giving you food stamps. I'm already giving you houses. You can't tell me you can't go out there and find a job within 2 years.
That's
because
crazy.
A lot of them get so relaxed.
Exactly. So relaxed, so reliable,
like,
on that.
Yeah. So if all the food stamps got cut off right now, what would they do? If all the public housing got shut down, what would they do?
They would be hungry. Be hungry.
That's how they need to look at it. How would you survive if all of that got cut off right now?
They'll be hungry as hell.
They need to send all of them a letter in the mail. How would you feel if all of your stuff got cut off right now? How would you survive? What would you do? How would I send them all a letter in the mail like that? And then I put it at the bottom.
I definitely think with the program, they should have, like, monthly checks of what they're doing. They have to send in what they're doing, their income, and all that. Because, and then it's funny because I have people that come in my store sometimes that are on, that are getting help from the government, assistance or whatever, and they have to go out and look for jobs. But the only thing they do is come in and say, are you hiring? Can you sign this paper saying that I came in? And I'm just like, you're not really trying. Like, you're not really trying. You're just getting somebody to sign.
I ain't signing nothing. Get out of my face. Go look for a job.
But I mean, and speaking of that, food stamps, like, what if they cut it off until the election come up and see how many people vote?
Yeah.
Yo. They need to do that.
Every time you start, you get on food stamps, you got 2 years to get. I need to see something. I need to see a check stub. If you can't come up with a check stub, if you can't come up with 6 months worth of check stubs in 2 years, you cut off. That's what they need to do to them. That way
but,
I know you at least had a job.
That's true.
But you know what? I'm not going to even, like, sugarcoat anything, and I'm not about to knock on, you know, anybody's city that has a hood or a project or anything like that. But you know what I'm saying? It's based on the children, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's based on the parents. Like, some of the parents, like, they'll sit home and they'll watch the kids and all that stuff, and they get so bored watching the kids to the point that they'll break out video games. Like, I know some people, some parents, they'll sit around and play video games. They don't even pay attention to their kids. Some kids are running in the hoods right now, and speaking of my city, New Jersey, I see kids all the time. Like, I see kids all the time sitting on the step. Like, I seen one gang, it's full with a whole bunch of kids, They rocking the color green. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Basically, you start with some of the parents, some of the community. Like, if the community don't do nothing, then the parents ain't going to do nothing either.
Yeah,
But it's kind of like, by investing in kids, and providing them with positive life expectations and experiences, and it can avoid all this crime. It can avoid all these things that these kids think that they need to get into. And as adults, we need to serve as role models for younger children in our community. You know what I mean? Younger children in our household.
What you should have did, you seen them sitting on the step, you should have went and got a van and took them all to the gym or something. See, they need stuff positive to
exactly.
do. If you get a kid
something
to do, they wouldn't hang out like that. And that's the thing that, you know, we trying to strive for. Now, you get these kids something to do, and it'll keep them away from the street. You give them something that they want to do, a place that they can go. Like,
and not just
new things for them to learn.
Not even just giving them something to do, but if you're involved in what they're doing.
They wouldn't do it.
And I mean, especially for the parents, some of the parents, basically some of the parents, they're getting all these 18 and old video games for their kids just because they want it. And you know what I'm saying? That's not how it's supposed to be. Like, they're supposed to enforce the law. Like,
actually,
if a game requires you to be 18 and older to play it, you got to be 18 and older. Like, I see some parents, they just go in there, oh, yeah, I want Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Or they'll say Saints Row or Grand Theft Auto, where people taking cars or people shooting other people, and they'll respond on to that.
Yeah, but it's the same thing. That's just like I say with these girls that be having their daughters, like, on YouTube. Okay, what you got your baby doing a booty shake for? You know, that to me, that ain't funny. They think it's funny that when they have them on YouTube. I said, that is not funny.
And it's not.
That is not cute. You got a little girl up in Pampers trying to do the booty shake on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think she's going to be doing in a couple of years?
Booty shaking on camera.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy to me. But they think it's cute and... Oh, look at my daughter and all that. That to me, that ain't cute at all.
And I mean,
we have a caller who wants to chime in, so we're gonna get them on and see what they want to say.
All right.
So, radio, who's this? Where are you calling from? Hello.
Hi, how are you? I'm calling from Jacksonville, Florida.
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
You know, today? Go ahead.
It comes from home training. I mean, no matter where you sit, if you bring up your kids right, you know, most parents, not teenage parents, they don't try to tell the kids, get up, you know, clean up your room. Because some of the parents don't clean up their room. See what I'm saying? So the kids do what the parents do. You don't keep us clean house. Some kids, when they get old enough, can't keep a clean house. She gets nasty because the parents don't teach the kids. That's what she is. So you can't blame it on the neighborhood because I walk up and down the streets and pick trash up. The kids come by and throw, see grown-ups come by and throw trash. And, you know, okay, it's a trash can right there. But they throw it on the ground. If you want to keep your neighborhood, start at home. Look, you get up, you clean that van, you fix that van. Don't you leave here going to school without your van clean, your room clean. Can you go to school? That's how you work that. And then if you say something to them, well, she can't tell me what to do. This is my house. No. No. It takes a whole village to raise one child. So that's what I have to get back to. We just went off ahead. Or we want to work all the time. We don't want to spend no time with the kids. We don't want to train them up the way they should go. You know, put them in front of the TV. Okay. And let them sit there, and that's the way the kids being raised now. So it's up to us to get back to the basics, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Well, thank you for calling in. We appreciate
you. You're welcome.
I definitely think it's true what she was saying. We definitely have to get back to the basics. We definitely have to instill in our children, like that goes back to instilling your values and what you used to learn, what your mom used to teach you, and even the ones who, the kids who, you know, didn't learn that, who haven't learned that from their parents, it's still, we definitely have to take some kind of stand, or we have to do something to get these kids to want to better themselves and want to better their lives. Like, for real, because the crime rate is ridiculous. We can use poetry, there's art, music, dance, you know what I mean? Talk with youth groups about, you know, becoming safe in their community. So I definitely think that it goes, we definitely have to go back to the basics. So, all right, you guys, now we are going to jump into the business spotlight with your girl. It's delicious. And we're going to see what she's talking about. She's going to be giving us some business tips and letting us know what's up. And here we go with the business spotlight.
If you know exactly what I want to do, then I'm going to get a business to you.
Bringing you the business spotlight. This segment will be about starting your own business and tips on different ways to market your business. First, I'm going to start out with a business quote of the day. The greatest barrier to success is the fear of failure. So if you never start, you will never succeed. So get up. Don't let fear hold you back from what you want in your life. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and move to some music. Don't go nowhere. This is Miss Delicious bringing you the business spotlight. Let's go.
Baby, business to you.
What's up, what's up? We're back with the Business Spotlight. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into knowing, giving you some tips about starting your own business. So the first thing that you'll need to do if you're starting your own business or a new business is finding a great name. You want something that's easy to remember, that when a person thinks about your product, they think of the business name you came up with. For instance, you know, if you were shopping for furniture, the first thing that's going to come to your mind is Ashley Furniture Room to Go. So if you are coming up with the business name, you want to make sure that you have something that's catchy, not too long, and easy to remember. The next thing is going to be finding a good location, 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 location. Like, if you don't have a good location, then it could really, really kill your business. You want to make sure you have great parking for your customers. Some people have to come in your parking lot and struggle to find a parking space. They have to park down the street. While they're down the street trying to find that park, they're like, you know what? That's all right. I'm just going to go somewhere else because that's ridiculous. That's really ridiculous. Getting into the serious, serious part of your business, the next step is going to be registering your business name. And the way you can do that is going to your local courthouse or the Secretary of State in the state that you're in. That's going to be your next move. After that, you're going to definitely need like a tax ID number, depending on the type of business that you are opening. And some businesses does require that you have a business sales tax ID, but all businesses don't require that. So depending upon what you want to open, you would either have to have a EIN number and a sales tax ID, or just a EIN number. After you get that, you need to get your business license, which could be obtained at your local city hall. Gotta have that up on your wall. You know, the first dollar you see is crazy. So proud for the first dollar. So you really need to get that going. And finally, work your business as hard as you can and be your best spokesperson. After that, I would say marketing. Definitely need to go with the free things first, like Facebook, Craigslist, Twitter, LinkedIn. There's some great marketing tips. I feel like this, if Walmart is doing it on Facebook, you need to be doing it too. Well, that is all for tonight. This is Miss Delicious with the Business Spotlight. Deuces.
What I wanna do.
All right, you guys, that was Miss Delicious with the Business Spotlight. And we're gonna, right now, we're going to get into more of the DJ Prince mix, so don't go nowhere. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Serving these streets mixtape. Mixtape.
Sure, right here, call it real. Just like that, man. We don't play no games, nigga. We handle business.
I'm froze, posted in the club, surrounded by a bunch of hoes. Anything goes, my nigga, I'm froze. Posted in the club, surrounded by a bunch of hoes. Anything goes.
But now I see you, let's go.
I'm on the floor, no VIP. Hands up, bitch, you know it's me.
Real niggas do, real niggas do, man.
Juice on me, fucking
fuck with us.
Different type of real, hit them hard to see. It's real, it's real, it's real, it's real, let go, it's real.
damn up in it. I got a water rolling stone off in these Meg denims. Rings and bracelets so icy doing hockey business. Got these hoes right in my dick like Kawasaki building. Lanes doing shots. I do a bottle of them. Niggas balling, throwing ones. I throw 1,000 of them. Plus I keep a bad bitch like public housing mothers. I'm getting taken, can't wait to put the icing on them.
Yeah.
We eating good, something like a buffet. Bad boy, bottle us a rock like I am Puffet. Trust me, the streets say we get it over here. Treat the game like a virgin, I just push and feel.
Yeah. I'm on the floor, no VIP. Hands up, bitch, you know it's me. Got my bands up. Juice on me, fucking with a different type of real. It ain't hard to see.
It's real, it's real, it's real, it's real. For sure, it's real.
Test, but you know it's real. When my team hit the club, bitch, you know the deal. Drop down and give me 50, yeah, you know the drill. Y'all make it rain, we make it tsunami. Overkill. I'm at the bar, about to spaz out. Tell her order another round, I go the cash route. Ball out assets, B-O-A. Y'all came in the club, dead broke, D-O-A. Old bum ass nigga, stupid knots in my pocket. I go,
bum ass nigga.
Yo, bitch, choosing. She know a nigga front that quick, and she seen the band, so I beat it like a
bum ass nigga.
I'm on the floor, no VIP. Hands up, bitch, you know it's me. Got my bands up, juice on me, fucking with a different type of real. It ain't hard to see.
It's real, it's real, it's real, for sure.
Shut down, tunnel vision, go bomb behind you. Let's go, froze from my follicles to my toes. It ain't from my ice, it's the kush that this white boy grow. 244, it's coming live to your city. And your number one spot where the groupie hoes pretty. And we need no introduction, bitch, salute us with your titties. All you fake ass niggas, stay the fuck out the vicinity. We enemies still proven trustworthy. Cross me, I had your world spinning around like Dorothy's. Without a good hand or a thrill, more like an easy kill. Cause everything around me, bitch, is all so real.
It's real, it's real, it's real. For sure, it's real, it's real. It's real, Lego. It's real, it's real, it's real. For sure, it's real, it's real, it's real. Lego.
I'm on the floor, no VIP. Hands up, bitch, you know it's me. Got my bands up, juice on me. Fucking with a different type of real. It ain't hard to see.
It's real, it's real, it's real, it's real. For sure, it's real, it's real, it's real. Lego. It's real.
Alright, you guys, we are back. We are back and we're jumping back into the topic for tonight, which is team awareness. We already talked about education and crime prevention. So right now, we're going to talk about relationships. Pimples, braces, teachers, parents, homework, and all sorts of outside stress. Combine that with your raging hormones, and it's hard to believe any teenagers can ever even get a date. But teenage relationships can be some of the most amazing relationships of life. First love is exciting and new, and it is something to be embraced. I want to know, when was the first time you guys ever went on your first date ever as a younger person?
My first date was when I was 17. Like, date, like, really went somewhere.
No, but, okay, so let's not say date. Let's say your first boyfriend, your first little crush or whatever.
Kindergarten, not this one.
Kindergarten, wow.
I'm just kidding.
Sorry, early.
I'm just kidding. I would say middle school. Middle school is when I kind of first saw, like, having crushes and, you know,
stuff like that.
So you remember, like, my first boyfriend ever was when I was 10 years old. He was a white boy, and I'm not holding anything against white boys, but he was a white boy. And he was definitely interesting. He was, like, 13, and he was, like, one of those Eminem types. Like, he wanted to be like Eminem. And it was very interesting, but he was my first kiss. It was crazy because our first moments were amazing, but they weren't good because I was still at that stage where I was like, ew, boys, ew. Like, I don't really, I was peer pressured into getting a boyfriend, so, you know. Some of the things I definitely, Mr. Primetime, you all quiet tonight, so when was your first relationship or first little crush?
Mine was 13, and I went out to a club. My partner had let me
in the club, knowing that
I was 13, but at that time, that's when I first started recording music, and so they wanted me to go up against some other rappers that was way older than me, and that was my first time getting dissed on a track, because I was wearing some Reebok shoes, so I would have to say that.
Wow.
But it was,
so
it
what
was
how old
experience.
Was the girl?
The girl, she was 29 years old, so
you know
after
what?
We left there, after we left there, you know what I'm saying, I was going to go back out with another female, but, you know what I'm saying, my grandfather, he had this sort of thing where, okay, you know what, I need to sit down and talk to him because he's going out with a different girl every night, so a two-hour conversation caused me my second date, and she cursed me out through text message, through phone, email, Facebook, and that was like a good night, and then also was a bad night. So yeah, I would say 13.
Wait a minute, how old are you?
Huh?
How old are you?
22.
You're 22. Oh.
22.
13. What you was gonna do with a 29-year-old woman?
Well, I learned a whole lot of things. I heard a whole lot of things. I'm gonna just leave it at that. I learned a whole lot of things.
He wasn't
at 13. You ain't learned nothing at 13.
Yeah, I learned a whole lot of things. I can't discuss that on air, but you know what I'm saying? I would say I learned.
Yeah, let's not be nasty on air. Let's not be nasty.
Go ahead.
When was your first date? You trying to stall.
Hey, I don't think I had no date.
Oh, so you ain't have no girl that was crushing on you or you was crushing on them.
I ain't had no date. We always go to the park and try to do the hang on get it thing.
Oh, my goodness.
That was back in the day.
I remember that game.
It's
even more fun when you play it at night.
Okay. You be playing a little hunting and grinding and stuff like that. Yeah, that was about nine.
Be behind the house.
Going to park on the merry-go-round or the sliding board. You pull out your little PCO, look at her, then take off running and stuff.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, we used to be little nasty little boys like that.
Well, I definitely think that in relationships, teens have to have confidence and an open mind. It may sound obvious, but you have to be comfortable and confident to get a date. You've heard the term be by yourself, and you probably hate it, but that phrase just means you have to like who you are before anyone else can like you. If you find yourself hitting on a person, go ahead.
They don't even need to be worrying about a date. They need to be worrying
true,
about
true, that is so true. You definitely shouldn't be worrying about getting a date at all.
if I could have waited to even date, like, I would be way better off right now.
But you know what? Like, even if, even because of those kids is worrying about school, they still worrying about their boyfriend or girlfriend that's in school.
Exactly.
Some of them, you'll catch them under the bleachers, kissing and all that stuff. Some people will go to a corner or someplace in the hallway where nobody would think of go, and they'll do whatever.
Exactly. And let's think about this. When you are dating someone in school, that's one reason why I've never dated anyone that I've ever went to school with, except for one person. And I saw the backlash of that. It's like you worry about what they're doing at every second. You're like, well, why he ain't meet me at Four Points? Well, why he ain't meet me in the cafeteria? What's she doing? Why is she in the hallway with him? You know what I mean? And you're so focused on what they doing that you're not focused on what you should be doing.
No,
so it's kind of like it can be a hindrance.
See, in
school,
I remember when I was in high school,
I was about to beat up every chick that was talking to him, everything. Like, we was about to get at, like, we almost got in a fight a few times over this chick. I was just telling her, I was like, listen, this is my man, and I'm going to need you to back up. And if
but
I catch you talking to him again, I'm going to slap you.
Yeah, but the thing about that, you don't date people in school because, first of all, it's too many females for you to be trying to date somebody in school. And, you know, you be trying to fill on everybody's booty. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, the school thing was out.
Like, especially some of those females that they'll get pressured or they'll have their girlfriends back down there, oh, I won't touch this guy, but. And then when they actually do it, and the guy turn around, they sitting there giggling and cackling and laughing and all that. You just looking like, okay. And turn back around, start talking to your homeboys, and then they do it again.
But you know, that's just kids. Like they play like that, and then they don't really know how to initiate sexual. You know what I mean? Sexual things. So it's kind of like, okay, I'm going to just touch his butt and it's going to be funny. So y'all look. You know what I mean? So that's all that is. I guess when I was in school, we never did that. That was so stupid. Like, I'm not about to touch your butt. If anything, you should be touching mine. Like, no. Also, if you find yourself hitting on a person who wants you to do things as a teenager, you aren't comfortable, you know, with just because you think that person is cool or you like them, oh, if I don't do this, he's not going to like me. And this goes towards mostly the females. Oh, if I don't do this, then he's going to say, you know, I'm whack or I'm ugly or he don't want to talk to me no more. And I think that we need to definitely reevaluate our priorities because it really doesn't matter what he thinks or what he likes or what he says about you because lies stop at a certain point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they can only say it, and they can only last for so long before somebody be like, nah, she ain't like that. I was hanging around her. She's cool. You know what I mean? So I definitely think that we need to reevaluate youth priorities so that they don't feel like they have to do things just to get someone's approval or attention. Also, if you lie about liking all the same things as the person you want to date, you may find that you actually hate doing those things. Like, I've had a situation where I really like someone, and he was like, well, how about we do this? And I'm like, okay. And I realized in the middle of us doing whatever it is that we were doing, like, that he liked to do, like playing video games, I realized I hate. When I tell y'all I hate playing video games, I hate it. And I realized that dating someone, I was just like, you know what? This isn't going to work out. Like, if you're going to play video games, then we can't be together. So that's definitely, I feel like, you know, you start to resent that person and you start to take it out on them. And you start saying, you know, I don't want to date you no more because you play video games. And that's kind of a stupid reason, but
you know, we have to decide if we're going to be ourselves or if we're going to be someone else just to have someone like us.
Well, I mean, you know, well, I mean, you know what? That could be a good reason as is also because some people, they don't have no goals and no values in life, and all they want to do is sit there and play video games or go to the store and get another video game and say, oh, look, I got another video game and they'll do this and they'll sit here and play this and then everybody call them, hey, man, I'll call you back and play a video game. So.
Yeah, well, also, if you say that you haven't tried something, I feel like this. If you say, no, I never really tried video games. I don't know if I really like them. But you keep an open mind to it and you give it a try and you say, okay, you know, we'll try it. Let's see how it works. They will be more than likely like, okay, well, she was open-minded about it. She didn't necessarily like it, but that's making me learn something new about this person. Boy, I'm getting to know her better, and I'm getting to know this person better. You know what I mean? So I definitely think keeping an open mind and having confidence while you're dating as far as a teenager, and even as an adult, would make it more interesting and more valuable at the end of the day. Also, overanalyzing and communication. Don't overanalyze everything your date says or does. High school and relationships are stressful enough without adding to drama. And I definitely think that more older people need to listen to this. Stop adding on drama to your relationship. Stop it. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to deal with it. You're just going to be alone and by yourself with about 20 cats if you do.
Oh, wow.
Stop. If the person you are dating doesn't call you for a date, don't immediately start to panic or get mad or be like, well, I wonder what he's doing. What's she doing? She ain't called me today. You know what I mean? Like, take a break. Step back and be like, oh, she's probably busy. Maybe she's grounded or maybe she has some homework. You know what I mean? Or what if your boyfriend passes you in the hallway without stopping to say, hey, maybe he genuinely didn't see you. You know what I mean? Don't, but on the other hand, don't hide your feelings. If these things happen, you know, often and make you uncomfortable, communication is the key to any relationship. And this, like I said, goes with older people. If your man comes by the house and you sleeping, or if you in the kitchen and he just stopped by to grab something, don't automatically assume that he just didn't want to talk to you or he mad. You know what I mean? Maybe he's running late for something. Maybe he just need to grab something and get out. But the people definitely need to be mindful and let the other person know, hey, I'm stopping by, but I gotta go. Love you, bye. You know what I mean? Yell something. So definitely let people have an opportunity to explain, you know, their side of the story or to give you some type of justification. Because accusations, they really don't do anything but cause more problems in the situation. So what do you guys have to say about that? I know y'all got something to say. I know y'all got something to say. I know it.
Yeah,
I can feel it.
But the thing is, and people be worried about that too much. You know, I wouldn't worry about, hey, fuck it, you don't call me, fuck it.
I've dealt with situations where I won't answer my phone the first time, but if you call me the second time, you're like, well, what was you doing? Why you couldn't answer the phone the first time? I'm just like, nigga. Get away. You better leave me the hell alone. I didn't hear my phone the first time. You know what I mean? Or I was doing something and I didn't get a chance to answer my phone. Chill out. That just causes more friction, more problems, more drama to the situation.
Well, you know what? Some females, when we don't call the female, they'll get mad and they'll get offended. That late night text, they cursing you out through text messages. You want to know what the hell's going on? And you had something going on that day, helping your mom or something, pack or something to go on vacation or something. You just sitting there. Well, I know. You know what? She gonna curse me out because I ain't even text her. I ain't call her.
But if you know, my thing is, if you already know,
that she gonna be mad because you haven't contacted her today. Why not hit her a text? And my thing is, you ain't talked to me all day. Why can't you send me a little quick text? Hey, babe, I'm busy. I'll call you later. I'll call you tomorrow. Like, why is it so hard for people to do?
Because you know some females will take that as, oh, what he doing? Why he can't text me? Why he can't come?
Well, those are females who are not feeling secure in their relationship, and the reason why they're not feeling secure is because you're not giving them security. I'm just saying.
Oh, you quiet? Oh.
Say what?
What'd
you say?
You quiet? Oh, okay.
No.
We're going to move on.
No.
We're going to move on to sexual pressure. Never let your significant other pressure you to take things faster than you want to. You are young and you have plenty of time to explore your bodies and hormones. If you let someone pressure you into sexual activity, you might resent him for it and be upset with yourself. Once you've taken part in any sexual activity, you can't take it back, so make sure you feel ready and are with someone you trust. Also, if you make the decision to be sexually active, you should take on the responsibility of educating yourself. As we talked about before, always use protection, even for oral sex, and you might want to consider other birth control options as well. Once you are sexually active, both parties should be periodically tested for sexually transmitted infections, and girls should start seeing a gynecologist at least once a year. Go ahead, Mr. Primetime. I know you was about to say something.
About that, basically you just need to get checked before any sexual activity. You know what I'm saying? Some people will go get checked. Even for our kids, they'll make sure they'll go get checked, you know. And me personally, you know what I'm saying, in every relationship I do, if I do sexual activity, I make sure that, you know what I'm saying, before we do any sexual activity, we'll go get checked. Because, you know what I'm saying, I had some family past time, you know what I'm saying, I lost my, you know, my uncle on my mom's side, you know what I'm saying, due to a female that didn't even care. You know, she know that she had something. And basically, she didn't let them know about it. And so they transmitted or whatever, but they had two twins. And you know what I'm saying? You know, they happily got away from all of that. And, you know, they got 100% healthy in due time. So, you know, basically, you know what I'm saying? When you're young or anything like that, sex is good, you know what I'm saying? In some people's minds, but in other people's minds, they say, well, you know what? I got to think about this. Even to those, you know what I'm saying, who having kids, they all happy because the female pregnant. And then when you get to the hospital, and the mom and the girl all mad and stuff, you're like, oh, you done this to me and all this. And then they're sitting there squeezing your hands to the point that they're cutting off your circulation and everything. You're sitting there like, oh, man.
Well, I definitely feel like people overdo that whole giving birth thing, because not necessarily the woman is mad at you. She's just mad because she's hurting. Don't take it personally. Just like when a woman is on her menstruation cycle, she is hurting. So she's going to be pissed off. She's going to get mad. You're going to get on her nerves more than normal. But that's because she's in pain.
Well, you know what? You know what I'm saying? When she on that time of the month, I make sure I don't call. I let her know even before time. I don't call.
You're not going to be able to do that.
Well, you know, some females will take it to that next level. So, you know, you just want to stay your distance.
Yeah, but
I don't know. I feel like...
I mean, just like some guys, they don't even go into the stores. They girl is sending them in there to go get, you know, their time of the month, you know, credentials or whatnot, and they don't even want to go to the store. They girl is like, oh, man, I need you to go get this.
I asked the people, too. Hey, look here.
how much is this to them? You know, I'm trying to save some money. I don't care nothing about damn cars or what. I'm trying to find out the price. Like, how much is these?
My thing is when we're talking about, you know, teens, you know, going and having sex. When I had sex, I was 15. It was the worst experience of my life. Like, when I tell y'all I hated it, like, I wish I would have waited.
Wow.
I really wish I would have waited. That's how bad it was. And it's kind of like, exactly, it's kind of like you feel pressured to do something. Like, I was pressured into doing it. I had somebody in my ear saying, go ahead, do it, stop being a punk, stop being whack, do it.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, you got
raped. Oh, wow. Wow.
No one raped him. He just called it rape because he put on the top.
It's just revenge, huh?
Just because she on top does not mean she raped you. Okay.
Well, you know, since some females are participate.
I wasn't participating in that.
Yes, you were talking about you wasn't participating.
Well, you know, some guys will turn a female down and then they'll be like, "Oh no, oh, you gonna get this?
Yeah,
gonna get this. Even if I gotta rape you."
I definitely think we should have more awareness. Like, definitely in school. Like I said, when I was in school, we never talked about sex. We never talked about condoms. We never talked about planned, you know, parenthood or anything like that. We never talked about any of that stuff. So, really didn't know a lot about sex. I had sex. I only started learning about it after I had already done it.
Wow.
And it was just kind of like, I wish I would have waited. I wish I wouldn't have even, you know, did it because it wasn't worth it.
Oh, well, for me, I would have to say, you know, I was kind of pressured into taking the class. Like, my grandfather, he thought it was the type of lesson to do was to, you know, isolate me from all my friends. That means he took me out of gym, took me out of weightlifting and put me into these sexual education classes and cooking classes and had me take that all the way up until I was in the 11th grade. So I would have to say I hated it, but then I liked it at the same time. So
that's a good thing. So now you know what to do and how to handle situations and how to use protection and go get tested and all that stuff. And I just think that we need to make it more aware for teenagers to be like, listen. And then as parents, we can't just say, no, you're not having sex. We have to be like, listen, I need to talk to you about this. Let's have this conversation. Let me talk to you about if you want to have sex, how to prepare yourself. There's a lot of kids in your school that's going to try to pressure you into doing things, and I just want you to be able to make your own decision.
Well, you know, some parents are different. Some parents are...
They definitely, I think some parents don't really realize that there is a lot of peer pressure in schools, especially now. There's a lot of that. So kids feel like they just have to do things.
I think they realize that they just don't pay it no mind.
Yeah, you know, my whole experience was different than that. The guy, but I guess he thought that I was like them. It's like, why you don't do this if you really love me? And I know it's so lame, like parents tell you that. But when you be in the real situation, it seems different. Like it could be the same thing, you know?
They make you feel like it's more passion and they really love you and they really care about you. And if you love them, you should just do it. But ultimately, it's not. At the end of the day.
After that first time, I ain't did nothing for a lovely while.
Exactly.
Really,
and that's crazy because I was feeling like, oh, if I do this, I'm going to be so addicted to sex. Like, I'm going to want to have it all the time. But after I did it, I was just like, oh, hell no. Like, I'm never doing this again. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, it was the worst experience. When I tell y'all, it was so horrible. Like, we were doing it, and it was this bad. Like, I turned the TV on. I turned off the music. Like, I was reading the magazine. Like, when I tell y'all, for real, I was like, oh, my God. Why did I even do this? I can't even take this back. It was just horrible.
But y'all didn't just stop. They need to stop pressuring these ladies, man.
Exactly. Men, get a grip.
Get a
what y'all need to do is y'all need to get y'all some Vaseline or something. Go to work.
Oh, snap. Yeah, well, you know what? You know what? It's not just us. It's not just us because some people, some parents, they'll go around saying, oh, well, you know what? Since you want to have sex, you know what? You can get out of my house. If you go and get pregnant, you mess around and get pregnant, you can go move in with him. And y'all take care of the baby. But you know what I'm saying? That basically pushes the female to go ahead and lay down and have sex. They'll do it while their parents at work. And you won't even know a thing about it until the consequences show up.
Well, I definitely feel like in a situation like that, kids feel like, okay, my mom said I can't do this, so I'm going to do it anyway, just because she said not to do it. You know what I mean? They want to be rebellious, and they want to go against what you're trying to show them or teach them. So, like, we have to be able to talk to them more, you know what I mean? Just be able to be like, listen, I know you're at that age, but I'm going to need you not to do that. I'm going to need you to refrain from having sex, and if you're going to have sex, I need you to protect yourself, and this is how you can protect yourself.
Yes.
Well, you know, some parents, you try to talk to them and tell them that, and their eyes just grow so big, and they be like, what? Where did they learn this from? Like,
I wonder, what do we do with our little boys? What do we do with the boys? I know what we can say to the girls, but what do
they
we
just
do
horny.
With the boys?
I don't know. Boys are just horny.
Like,
I don't know.
Do we, like, go to your business? Like, make sure you strap it up?
I mean,
what age do they start wanting to have sex? What age do they start wanting to
I don't know, but you know, little boys start off at an early age, like hunting.
They be playing with themselves in the shower and mess with
exactly.
They so nasty. I'm like, what are you doing?
Exactly.
You know, when was your first time since y'all lost your virginity? Since y'all want to talk about us, when was your first time y'all lost your virginity?
I told you, I was 15 when I lost mine. I was 16 years old.
Wow. Yes. Wow, when did you lose yours? Do you still have it?
Wow. I would have to say 13. Yeah, I lost mine at 13 with that 29-year-old, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, she
did. She's a pedophile. That is so
disgusting. No, not exactly, because back then, you know what I'm saying, the parents can choose. Until this day, some parents can still choose basically what age limit the child can actually date. Like, I know this one child, she's 17, and she dating this 23-year-old because the parent said that it was okay.
Well, that's different. You were 13 and she was 29. She was a grown-ass woman. You know what I mean?
Well,
that's completely different.
Well, you gotta bring my grandmother into this because she said it was okay as long as I was mature enough to do it. And at that time, I said I was mature, but man, all these things been going across my head. Yeah, when am I gonna smash? Or when am I gonna do this?
The parent can't justify that because if somebody else find out and
exactly.
they tell. That person can actually go to jail.
Yeah, and I'm going to call on that 29-year-old today. I'm going to say yes, it's a guy, Mr. Prime Time. And when that child was 13, that lady got on him and baby took his service.
I'm just kidding.
All right, you guys, we are going to go into the Zen moment with me, your girl, Miss Princess Jazzy. So I want you guys to sit back and relax and get comfortable because we're going to do some healing and deep inner stillness for you guys tonight. So here we go. First of all, I want you guys to find yourself a quiet place to sit. This is your time, a time for total relaxation and inner stillness. Take a moment to make sure that you are warm enough and that you are seated comfortably. Rest your hands loosely in your lap. Now close your eyes for me. Take a long, deep, slow breath in. Hold it for a moment and then slowly exhale. Just allow any tension to melt away as you gradually relax more and more deeply with each breath. Take another long, slow, deep breath in. Hold it and then exhale. Empty your lungs completely with your out breath. Take a third breath in. Take your time, hold it for a moment, and then let it go. Already you are beginning to drift into a state of deep relaxation. Continue to breathe slowly and gently. Relax. Now bring your awareness to the top of your head. Sense or imagine a feeling of relaxation beginning to spread down from the top of your scalp. Let the muscles in your forehead relax. Allow your eyes to relax. Let your cheeks and jaw soften and let go of all tension. Now this peaceful feeling flows down your neck and deep into the muscles of your shoulders, soothing them, releasing them. Breathe. Allow this peaceful feeling to flow through your arms, relaxing and soothing all the way to the tips of your fingers. As your body relaxes, your mind relaxes. Your thoughts become weightless. Now the peaceful sensation flows through your chest, stomach. Feel how this area gently rises and falls as you breathe slowly and deeply, soothing and relaxing. Turn your attention to your back and feel this relaxing sensation flow all the way down your spine. Now the peaceful feeling flows through your lower body. Relax your butt, the back of your thighs, the front of your thighs. Feel all these large, strong muscles become loose and relaxed. Soothing feelings flow down through your knees and into your calves. Your ankles relax. Now your feet relax. Your entire body is soft and calm and relaxed. Now it's time to leave the external world behind and go on an inner journey. A journey to a place of inner stillness. Imagine that you are standing on a white sandy beach. It is early in the morning. A light hazy mist surrounds you. The sun is rising slowly. You can feel the warm orange light on your face and your body. You are feeling content, at ease, relaxed. Sand beneath your bare feet is soft and warm. A light breeze caresses your face. This beach is deserted. You have it all to yourself and you have all the time in the world. Listen to the relaxing sounds of the ocean. Its waves are breaking gently on the shore. Now begin to walk slowly through the mist towards the water.
small boat is waiting for you. The boat is comfortable and steady. Notice that it is tied to shore with a rope. Walk to the water's edge and step into the boat. You are feeling completely at peace, completely safe, and completely relaxed. When you are ready, untie the rope and let it go. Relax and allow the natural currents of the ocean to guide you away from the beach. Your boat drifts smoothly. It rocks ever so gently in the water. This rocking motion relaxes you even more deeply. The sun is now higher in the sky. Its light has gathered strength. Notice that the mist that surrounds you is beginning to evaporate. You can see the air becoming clearer and clearer. Watch as the sun's rays dissolve all of the mist. Now you can see clearly in all directions. Sparkling ocean water surrounds you on all sides in front of you. You see a small island come into view. Your boat moves closer and closer to the island, gliding slowly and effortlessly through the water. The sun is drenched in sunlight. It is covered in tropical palm trees that sway gently in the breeze. Your boat glides slowly forward and comes to rest on the shore. You have arrived. Just take a moment to become one with yourself, to become relaxed, to enjoy this brief moment of solitude, of inner stillness. Relax for me. Don't worry about your problems. Don't worry about anything else you have going on, all of your worries, things you have to do. Just relax with me. Forget about everything. Just relax. Take a minute to just vibe with the music and relax. Fear, our souls shed to fear. Reborn. As we are reborn, may our hearts be in peace. As we heal and release, may your love and compassion grow. For you are more loved than you know. And you have now tuned in to the relaxation moment with your girl, Princess Jazzy. Stay tuned. Keep listening. We're going to get into some music now. And when we come back, we're going to end the show how we always do, live. Here we go.
I might call the bus.
All right, you guys, we are back. We are back, and that was the relaxation moment with your girl, Princess Jazzy. Tonight was a great, great show. We were talking about youth awareness, and I think we hit a lot of issues that we need to let our kids know so that they can become better adults than we are. So as always, thank you guys so much for tuning in to Tell All Radio. We have your girl, Miss Delicious.
What's up? What's up? I'm so glad that you all tuned in tonight. Make sure you tune in next week for Business Spotlight.
Absolutely. And then we got your boy, Mr. Goodness.
Hey, let's go. We're going to get this sports thing together, y'all. We're going to get it right.
We also have Mr. Primetime next week, who's going to be hitting us with the Music Madness. Also, we have Miss Sexy K, who's going to be hitting us with the sex talk. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. I definitely need some new stuff, some new tricks to use in the bed. But I'm pretty sure everybody else is looking forward to that, too. So definitely, make sure you guys tune in every Wednesday from 9 until 11 p.m. We got some new segments. We got some new stuff. It's definitely going to be a lot more exciting this time around. So definitely keep listening. We get better and better each time. So Tell All Radio, let's go.
Tell out. Tell out. Yo. Yo. Princess Jazzy. Princess. Sexy K.
Sexy.
Mr. Sensation. Mr. Yo. Hey. And Mr. Goodly. And Mr. Goodly. It's on. It's on. Yo. Yo.
Tell out. Tell out. Tell out. Tell out. Tell out. Tell out.